the KISS 92.5 studios in Toronto, Canada.
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen.
This is Roz.
Yes.
And Mocha.
It's Roz and Mocha. What's going on?
Hey, guys. This is Bruno Mars.
This is Selena Gomez.
The Chainsmokers.
Lady Gaga.
Calvin Harris.
Celestia Carr.
This is Ed Sheeran.
You're listening to my boys, Roz and Mocha.
Roz and Mocha.
My boys, Roz and Mocha.
The Roz and Mocha Show.
Between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
Roz.
Mocha.
Roz. I think Mocha.
You guys are so funny, man.
Congratulations, Lisa! Wow!
You just won $1,000.
That is amazing. Y'all just made my entire morning. Keep it up.
You guys are awesome, man.
This is the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I got this text that I feel is a troll job. I'm going to read it anyway.
Okay.
I have a fun idea. This, by the way, from Roz and Mocha super fan, Rayman.
Okay.
Who says, I have a fun idea for the Roz and Mocha show. I think it would be really funny if you two tried smelling salts live on the show. Oh. And then Maria saw this text and got super excited because she's got
bath salts?
Smelling salts.
Bath salts.
I don't know why I'm thinking bath salts.
Isn't that what guys in Florida were taking when they were like getting naked and biting each other?
Eating faces and stuff. Sorry.
I don't want to do that just for the record, okay?
No, not bath salts.
Okay. I trust you guys and all.
Yeah.
But no.
No. So explain, because I don't know anything about smelling salts. Maria, go ahead.
Okay. So a lot of people use them in like, I'm sure you've seen hockey players smell them before they go on the ice. Soccer players do it. It's to like give you like a breath of fresh air and like a jolt of energy.
Oh,
it's those little, you see them crack them on the bench.
Yeah,
right?
There's little, ones where like are in a little container. You can crack them.
Yeah.
There's towelettes.
All right.
And what is like a deep inhale or just like a quick?
And through your nose, right? Is that what you do? You smell
it? You don't need it.
And it's legal?
Yes, yeah, it's legal.
It's just, what's in it? It's like ammonia, right?
It's ammonia. Like they're ammonia inhalants, gotcha. But they're very strong. Apparently, there's like levels to them, which I didn't know.
Yeah.
So Maria brought in a couple of
just
packs
like the street
for
life.
Us.
Yeah.
Maria brought a few in for us.
Okay. Who's going to go first?
I'll go first. Why don't we all just do it at the same time?
No.
Why?
No. Because I want to be fully aware of your reaction first.
Age before beauty.
I want to do. Okay, go ahead, Maury.
Wow.
Listen, I'm doing anything to avoid this, by the way, right now.
Clearly.
Okay.
I know why you don't want all of us to smell at the same time, because then we all pass out.
I know, we are. If I pass out, don't steal my pants, okay? That's my only rule of passing out. I've had that rule since 1986. Okay. It stands today. Do you want me to go first?
Sure.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll go first.
Make sure you don't touch the towelette.
What'll happen if I touch it?
I don't know. You may burn your fingers off.
Okay. It's open.
Okay.
And now what? Now I like sort of like pop it open kind of thing like this and then just smell, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ready?
Deep inhale.
Yep.
Oh my God.
What? What does it feel like?
Oh, it's a burn.
Is it?
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
a deep yeah, a yeah, burn yeah, deep yeah, inside yeah. your nose? You feel like in your brain? Is it like a brain freeze? Yo, why are your eyes doing that?
Why
I don't know if I
want to
do this. Does he look possessed?
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm going to chill with this for a second now.
You look like you're on bath salts.
Oh, this is, hold
they
on
might
now.
As well be.
Hold on, I kind of like this.
Feels nice?
Yeah.
Why are you scratching your chest?
I'm very, like, I'm amorous right now. I'm feeling things down in my water.
Oh, God.
Yo. You know what I mean? Okay. Who's going to, Mocha, I don't want you to go yet, Mocha.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so Maria, you go next.
Okay.
We're trying smelling salts, by the way. And let us know when it's popped open, Maria.
Okay, it's popped open.
Okay. All your breath out of your body. Okay, bring it up to your nose.
Oh.
What?
I only went up one nostril. My eyes.
Do the other nostril quickly. Do the other nostril quickly or it doesn't work. Yeah, go.
Works.
Go. Do it.
Oh.
Were those not the smallest mousiest inhales that you've ever heard somebody do?
Shem, you're next. Deep inhale.
I got you, brother.
I feel alive.
I can't even open. Oh, okay. Here we go.
Okay. Yeah.
Go deep inhale.
Deep inhale. All your breath out and then deep inhale.
Oh my God, I'm going to pass out.
Boy, you next.
I'm scared.
My heart's racing.
I'm going to pass out.
How do you open it?
You tear it.
Oh my God.
Use a scissors, Maury.
I think I'm dying.
What does it feel like, champ? What do you feel? And where do you feel it?
What happens when you don't pray?
We may lose champ. By the way, it's all of our first time trying smelling salts. Okay, Maury, is it open?
Yeah.
Okay, open the thing wide.
Don't grab it, though.
Yeah?
Okay. And then all your breath out, put that nose right in there, and big sniff.
Out.
All your breath out. All your breath out, Maury.
Inhale.
Yeah, there you go. Now sniff, big sniff.
Oh, God! Oh, my God!
Yo, boy's on the ground.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, my heart's racing. Is anyone else's heart racing?
Okay, Mocha, yeah. You're up.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, go.
Oh!
That was the smallest inhale I've ever heard.
I can't do it! Oh, my God!
Big one!
I can't do it!
Do a big one!
It burns.
Do a big one.
As soon as you do the inhale, it freaking burns.
Do a big one.
Oh, my God. What is this?
I think I'm going to take this to the gym with me after the show.
I'm going
to
have another. I'm going to have another.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I'm going to have another.
Me too. It freaking burns. And guys.
Oh, no.
Yo, this guy's addicted.
You're a heathen, you know that?
Yeah.
Oh, but it's nice. I kind of like this, too.
Yeah. It burns.
You know, the more you do it, your nose kind of gets, like, adjusted, and it's nice.
You know what? You're right, Maria.
Okay, big one, Mocha. Big one.
Okay, hold on.
All your breath out.
Okay, ready?
Yeah.
I feel it in the back of my head. Jeez. Oh, my God. Why would anyone want to do this?
Hey, Mocha, can I finish yours?
Oh. Roz has an addiction.
Oh, my God. Look at me. Look at me.
Okay, so.
I think your nipples are hard.
Maury immediately hit the floor. Shem, we almost lost Shem.
I haven't been able to breathe for years. I even had a septoplasty done, and this is the only thing that's actually fixed this. I think I'm going to start using this every day.
Yeah, I'm with you, Maria. I'm with you. Big fan of smelling salts.
Me too.
Right. Big fan. Okay, guys.
I've lost scent out of this nostril.
That was amazing. Who wrote that question?
Rayman.
Thank you so much. That was incredible. I'm just going to try again.
Birds! Birds! But yo, that's what us athletes do.
That's what we do.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
The sounds of Nickelback on the streets of Toronto. During a time when they're debuting at TIFF, the documentary Hate to Love, Nickelback.
There it is.
The synopsis for the documentary says Nickelback is one of the most successful acts in music history, and they're also the band haters most love to hate. Yeah. This intimate portrait surveys the Canadian stadium rocker's roller coaster career and reveals the abiding love for music that keeps them together.
And like, people just... like, people just throw hate at them when it's, like, at any opportunity, even when they're not involved in something. Like, back in July, like, Rolling Stone did their list of the 50 greatest Canadian artists of all time, right? And the headline in Rolling Stone reads, "Sorry, Nickelback, here are the 50 greatest Canadian artists of all time."
Damn. And you guys remember when Chainsmokers were, like, super hot? And like, calling Chainsmokers like the Nickelback of like EDM
I know. Yeah.
So Damon Maury, before we get to what the people on the streets had to say about Nickelback, how about Damon Maury with the guys from Nickelback on the red carpet ahead of the premiere of their movie Hate to Love, Nickelback?
Chad, good to see you again. How are you?
Excellent. How are you?
Good. Congratulations on the film. Were you at all hesitant to do this movie, to address the hate, to talk about the hate? Were you hesitant to make the movie?
I don't think we were hesitant, because we get asked about it in every single interview, so it's not like we're talking about something that's taboo to us. I mean, it's just like...
But it's a chance to tell our version of it, right?
But now that we've done this, we get to say, because the next time someone sticks a microphone in my face and goes, so we got to talk about the hate, I can say, no, we don't. You can just watch the documentary, and then we don't have to talk about it anymore.
So what are you hoping, I guess, the fans like us, everybody who loves Nickelback, what are you hoping that they get out of seeing the movie?
A little insight, a little inside perspective, you know, something that we'd be willing to say in what we feel is a safe space, as opposed to being guarded and getting somewhat of a generic answer sometimes.
Maury's the biggest fan of everybody, eh?
Uh-huh.
You're good at that, Maury. You're real good at faking fake fans.
I know
most people look at Maury like a guy who can't find his own ass in the bath, but you're really good at this stuff.
Found it.
How could you miss it? Maury on the streets talking to Nickelback fans.
All right, so Nickelback is one of the most polarizing bands in the world. Yeah. People either love them or they hate them. Which side are you?
I can say, honestly, I hate them. I mean, they're good musicians, so I got to give them that. You know, credit where it's due, but
there?
There's a real lack of creativity. It just seems kind of too callous to me. It's too callous and calculated. Look at this photograph. Every time I do, it makes me puke.
So why is Nickelback an either love or hate band?
I think it's one of those things like you need to be popular to be hated, so it's something there. And then it just somehow became like cool to hate them, like the go-to thing. I don't really know why.
That's
but
true.
It's cool to hate them. People use it as an example for everything, which just makes them even more popular.
Let me get your best Nickelback right now.
This is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me of what I really am. Not like you to say sorry. Not a different story.
I honestly think it's the way that they perform. Chad, he just captures people when he's on the stage and you can't get away from him. And I really think that's why people are totally obsessed with them.
I think it's mainly because of the fact that they were mainly overplayed in like the sports genre. They just scream like stadium music, like pro wrestling, that type of music. So I think the overplaying is the big factor why people don't like them.
Why are they so polarizing? Why is Nickelback like this?
So I'll be honest, I'm pretty sure it's just the internet. They're not a terrible band, but the internet making fun of them and dugging on them, especially after the look at this graph, it's impossible not to make
fun
of them.
That was my favorite.
Okay, so why do you think there's so many haters for Nickelback?
I have literally no idea why people would hate them. They're lovely people.
Have you met them?
No, in my dreams.
Can you sing a little bit of Nickelback for me?
This is how you remind me.
My answer is a lot of people are haters for fun. And when something's popular on the internet, people go along with trends. And they don't go with their brain and their heart. They go with what other people are saying. And it's really annoying. And you should just like what you like. And they're the best band ever. And this was so fun. So,
how awesome was that, a free Nickelback show?
The best night of my life. Are you kidding? And I would pay $300 to see them now.
All right, guys, let me get your best Nickelback in 3, 2, and 1.
Never made it as a wise man.
Oh my God, what a mess.
This is how you remind me of what I really am.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is...
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Spencer, what's your problem?
Oh, best man dilemma. Repair the friendship or find a replacement.
Oh, damn. Spencer, you wrote us this. Hey, Roz and Mocha, fix my life. I have a longtime friend with whom I've recently grown distant. The complication here is that I'm currently renting his house. The crux of the matter is that I had initially intended to ask him to be my best man at my upcoming May wedding, and it was somewhat implied that he would be. Now I'm unsure if I should still consider him for this role, given our strained friendship. Should I ask my distant friend, who's also my landlord, to be my best man, or should I explore other options? What went wrong in the friendship?
Well, you know, he's always kind of been kind of private. And, you know, whenever, even like, I've known him since I was in high school. And when I was friends with him then, you know, big things would happen in his life. And he would, like, never tell me about it until, like, he showed up with a cast. Like, you know, like he broke his arm or something crazy.
Right.
And as time progressed, we sort of separated and became less, you know, we talked less. But, you know, he made a big life decision to go and become a priest, which made it difficult for me because that's a pretty strict life, right? And it's sort of hard to be friends with people from your past life when you go down that path. You know, I'm the same faith, but it's still kind of difficult. So, you know, asked, you know, he, when he was a real estate agent, he bought this rental property and he offered it to me and my fiance, lived there for a while. And then after 1 year of living there, he decided to increase our rent by like, $250. Like,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
It was kind of, you know, big.
Yeah.
And, it kind of put a strain because he didn't tell me that that was the plan, but he's like, oh yeah, that was always the plan. And I'm like, no.
Wait. So hold on a second. So when was it implied that he would be the best man?
Yeah.
Okay. So, a few months ago, before he increased the rent, we were talking about my wedding. And I was, you know, talking to him about, you know, hey, you know, I'm planning to have his wedding. This is the date. And he's like, oh, I can't make it to that date. I have like something else I got to do. So I actually went back to the church I was going to have married and like had to change the date and everything. And, you know, I think it's implied because we hung out at like fairly enough then.
Did the words best man come out of your mouth?
No, I did not yet.
Oh, so you're good.
Yeah, but like it's
have the
like
words
implied.
Have the words best man ever come out of his mouth?
No.
Oh,
no.
Yo, bro, you're so good.
So you're good. So what's the problem?
But like you see, if I ask someone else and he's been like one of my closest friends up to this point until recently, like, don't you think it's implied that like he would be
not
like,
unless
move
you
the date?
Officially asked him.
Yeah.
You're fine. Why don't you ask him to officiate the wedding?
But
you
do need to tell him that he is not your best man.
Right. You see, that's the awkward piece. Like, do I put him in my bridal? Like, you know, like my, like, own of my, like, groomsmen or something like that? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
It's up to you.
Like, that's up to you, dude.
Yo, if he's a full-out priest, then why don't you just have him do the wedding?
Also, yeah, why not have him officiate?
He's not officially a priest yet, so I don't think he can yet. Also, he's in school.
Also, you can't have a priest playing the bachelor party, you know what I mean?
Yes, I know. Yeah, see, I don't even think you have time to plan a party, right? Like, he's so busy with school.
So why don't you sort of tell the truth, but just look for a truth that works, which is... you know how busy he is and you know what his true 100% commitments are and that you respect those. And the job of the best man is one that is going to require, you know, some sort of, you know, commitments to things that he may not A, have time for, or, you know, B, be comfortable with.
Right. That's a good way to put it.
You know, and just say, mm-hmm. hey, listen, I can't, you know, you're studying to become a priest. I can't have you be in charge of buying the alcohol for the bachelor party. You know what I mean?
True.
Just say that there's just some things about this wedding. I want you there. I want you standing up there with me. But like the heavy lifting of the best man, like, I just can't put that on you.
Right. That's a good point.
And then he's going to go, oh, my God, of course you can. Don't even worry about it. I'll do anything. And then you're going to say what? Then you're going to have to say, no, actually, I don't want you to be.
Yeah.
So that's
the awkward piece.
So then just start there.
Yeah. But then like then kick me out of the house.
Wait,
kick, really
he can't kick you. They just become a squatter, bro. They can't. You can't. Winter's
kick
coming.
You
can't
you evict. For not being the best man.
You can't. You know how difficult it is to evict somebody?
This is true.
It's very difficult. Don't worry about that.
You're good, Spence. You're good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, sell him. So you could tell him you'll sell him a ticket to your wedding for $250.
That's brilliant.
Make that money back.
At least one month's back.
Yeah.
All right, does that help, Spencer?
I think so. Yeah, that helps. Yeah. But before you let me go, can you answer the question?
Absolutely. Spencer, between Roz and Mocha, who is your favorite?
It's certainly Roz.
Certainly.
Yes. There's no other reason that needs to be given.
Is it because of our shared religious beliefs?
No reasoning. Brother,
okay,
learned.
Cool.
No reasoning.
Good. All right.
Oh, man. Spencer listens. He knows. All right, brother. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a great one, guys.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on KISS.
iPhone 15.
Yes.
Is that today?
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
I'm ready for
the iPhone. I'm ready for the watch. I'm ready for...
They switched the power again on them.
Yeah, they had to.
Yeah. So it's USB-C now, which, could you remember in the last time they switched was the iPhone 5?
The Lightning.
Yeah, because it used to have that big, like, 30-pin that you had to put in the bottom of your phone. Do you even remember that?
I still have that.
You do?
For what? Here.
For what?
For my iPhone. For my iPhone 5.
Let me see. Bring that here. Let me see this.
No, you don't.
Show it to Mocha. I actually don't want to touch your phone.
Like, even power?
I don't want to touch your phone.
No, it doesn't. That's freaking lightning, dude.
That's lightning.
Oh, isn't that what you're talking about?
No, that was that. The iPhone 5 was when they switched to lightning. Before the iPhone 5, it was like a big 30 pin that you had to like shove in the bottom of the phone.
I'm hype. Who's getting the phone? Who's getting the new phone? Hands up.
I have an iPhone 10 still.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean,
no one's getting it? Am I the only one?
Yep, you're rich.
How much is it?
I'll wait.
Wait for what, Maria? I'll wait. What does that mean, I'll wait?
For the 16?
Well, like, no. I tend to get my phones when my phone plan is up.
Oh,
I'm one of those.
And then they can offer it to you for free if you sign again for 10 years or whatever?
Yeah, I mean, actually, you know what? I think my phone plan is coming up.
What phone do you have?
I have the 13.
Okay. I have an 11 still. I'm due for an upgrade, and I cannot wait for this event today.
I got this dusty ass 10. I had a new one, and then Roxy took it.
Our boss said if I break this, I can get a new one.
Really?
Because this one has terrible storage, and he said
Hold on. Whoa! Does work pay for your phone?
They pay for this phone.
What?
I have two phones.
You know, I've never one in the. Okay, wait, pause for 1 second. I've never purchased or paid for a phone.
What?
Wow. the wealth in this
how?
Team.
No. How?
Explain. Yeah, because when I was at ET Canada, they would just, every time a new iPhone came out, they would just give it to you. And then, and they would pay for it. I went on a trip one time. Back in the day, and I think it was when I had a BlackBerry, not even an iPhone, but I had to go far one time, like down to South America kind of thing. And I left my phone in the overhead in my bag, but I didn't turn off the Wi-Fi or shut it off. And so it was still on roaming. And every now and then you would hit a signal and it would try and activate and try and update and everything else. And this one flight, I racked up almost $700 in roaming charges just from flying there and back, and I didn't even touch my phone. And I didn't know that until months later.
So I didn't hear a single thing you said because I'm fuming right now.
You're fuming. Why are you fuming?
Right now. I'm fuming.
Why?
How long have we been working here?
14
years.
Yeah,
that's 14 the answer.
Years. Yeah, 14 years. Yeah.
Maury's phone gets paid for.
As it should be.
Maria been here 2 months with the show, and she got two phones that are paid for by the company.
Yeah, two.
No. I pay for one, the company pays for the other.
Right. They still pay for a phone!
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess.
We work with a lot of sketchy two-phone individuals, huh? Maury's got two phones. Yeah. Sham, you got two phones?
Nah, bro. Only one, man.
Okay.
I can't get loyal, man.
I'll be so mad if your answer is yes. Does work pay for your phone?
I pay for it all myself, bro. I'm with you living in poverty.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I'm still living in poverty, even though I don't pay for the phone.
So, that's so mad.
That's so true.
Everyone here gets their phones paid for.
We work for the show.
I just haven't switched over to a new phone. Like, I'm just like,
Who pays for your phone?
I don't know.
Your old company still?
I don't know who pays for the phone, to be honest with you.
It just operates.
I don't know who pays for my phone. I don't know who pays for my phone. I have no idea.
So you don't get the bill?
I've never seen a bill. I've never seen a bill.
In my entire life, felt more broke-ass than right now.
The Roz and Mocha Show Podcast.
Ah, yes, here we are. Yes. Everyone, well rested. Well rested, ready to take on the day. Here we go. Roz, care to start?
Sure. I woke up like not that long ago.
How was your sleep, buddy?
Brutal.
Oh, how come?
Because I woke up stressed, so everything that happened before that means nothing.
Oh. Why so stressed?
Because
I know why.
Why?
You don't know which iPhone to get. The 15, the 15 no. Pro, the 15 Pro Max.
I woke up. My cat woke me up and I looked at my phone and I touched the screen of my phone and it just was black, like it was dead.
Uh-huh. Oh, you didn't charge it?
No, it was plugged in. So last night, my phone was plugged in, I was sitting there watching the show and then I went to bed. And when I unplugged my phone, it was like, you know when you get like a notification of like some sort of update or something like that, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't even read it. And then I set my alarm, went downstairs, go to bed, plug the phone in, and I guess it does its thing, whatever it was doing, and then it just never turned back on.
Oh, weird.
I think...
It's not supposed to do that.
No, I think that... Listen, Apple has been accused and had to admit to far worse. Mm-hmm. But the day that they announce they do the big show for the iPhone 15, mm-hmm. maybe, just maybe, they're like, give me the list of the people still using those dusty-ass iPhone 10s. We're going to put those to sleep for the night. All those people are going to wake up and be like, God, I'm sick of this phone. What do I do now? Mm-hmm. iPhone 15.
My old phone still worked just fine last night, Roz.
I don't know what to tell you, Maury. I'm just saying, I got rooked. Guaranteed.
You sure you just don't know how to use your phone?
Oh, my God.
Thanks for saying that, Maria.
You're welcome.
I was going to just kind of throw that out there, too.
That I don't know how to use my phone?
I don't know. Maybe you were like using a flip phone before. I don't know.
Everybody in this room used a flip phone, Maria.
I didn't.
Except for you.
I use the slide phones. You know the ones where like in Zoe 101? You know the ones that came out?
Oh, like the sidekicks?
Yeah, but it wasn't a sidekick. Zoe, didn't make sense.
How did it become I'm old?
It always does.
Shut up. Like,
well, you're using like, an iPhone 10.
When's the last time I was late?
Leave him alone.
Like, when's the last time?
He just woke up. He's so well, shook
shut
right
up.
Now. He's so shook, guys.
Finally got a warm up.
Yeah. I
know.
Maury went to Starbucks and was nice enough to get you a coffee.
I paid. By the way, I need you to know I paid.
Okay, thank you, Maury. Why do I need to know that you paid?
Don't you always pay?
Because no. Maury, before you came in, right?
Yeah.
Maury's like, hey, do you, he goes to me, hey, do you want, I'm going to go to Starbucks. You want anything?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. He goes, but do you want to pay for it on your app? I was like, no.
No.
You can't offer to buy me coffee and then say, hey, you buy the coffee.
Yeah. I know. I looked at my text just now. I got a text from Maury. Got you a coffee, .. I paid. Why do you need to say that?
Because Mocha
matter?
Usually pays.
Why does
pays?
That matter? But why does that matter?
Because I don't want you to thank him when you should thank me.
But why does that matter, though?
Oh, God. Really? That's what it comes down to. Thanking whoever bought the coffee?
Absolutely.
But why does that matter, though? I paid.
No, because I just don't want you to direct your love to the wrong person.
Love? It's a coffee. You do so little for so many, Maury.
I think I do a lot for little.
No, that you expect like the highest amount of praise for buying somebody coffee on a traumatic morning.
You're welcome.
What do you mean? It was very traumatic.
You're right, man. If I woke up and touched my screen and it was black, I'd be scared.
Hey, it is right now 13 degrees. Getting up to a high of 19. Sunshine today. That's pretty much going to be this way all week. Might get some rain tomorrow, but that's okay. 6:03, we're the Roz and Mocha Show. Fully intact. Everyone's feeling great,
shook. Oh, yeah, great, great.
the weekend, take my breath. Roz and Mocha, Kiss 92.5. Good morning.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I don't know if I can trust people anymore.
Why? What's going on with you?
This survey that I was reading, this bathroom company.
A bathroom company?
Uh-huh. In the UK, put out this survey to find out who the worst house guests are, right?
Mm.
84% of people said that they judge people on the look of their homes. 49% confessed to secretly snooping around the house.
Mm.
Most popular places for people to snoop in another person's house would be where, would you think, Roz?
Like the most popular has to be the bathroom.
Yeah, bathroom cabinets and people's fridges.
Yeah, because that's where they go, right? Maury, you're like a huge snooper.
That's why I get invited.
No,
that's why you don't get invited.
Yeah, no. Maury freely admits to if he ever goes to somebody's house to looking through their stuff in the bathroom.
Even more shocking than finding out that people have been snooping in your place is that 44% of those surveyed admitted to having Googled the price of people's homes they have visited.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you mean?
My
yeah.
God.
Yeah, Matthew and I have done that.
Bruh.
Like you look for the listing, the old listing, like some old, like when was it previously sold kind of thing. That is next level. Why do you want to know that? Why
curiosity.
But why though? Why?
Like what benefit does that have for you and Matthew?
It's just fun to do. It's, you know, it's like as soon as we get home, take off your shoes, Google a home.
Yeah, because I know what it is. How could they afford that? What are they doing that we're not, you know what I mean? Like, that's the conversation, right?
Well, not, yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So Maury took to the streets.
Oh, no.
To talk to people about snooping. And some of these answers are going to shock you, Roz.
Okay, come on. Everybody snoops. No! When you visit people, what are you snooping and where are you snooping?
I don't go, like, deep into the house, but, like, I think, like, what you have on, like, your bookshelf in the living room tells you, like, a lot about you. So, like, what books you have, what kind of, like, pictures or, like, tchotchkes you have around in your, like, living room on the shelves. Like, that's what I want to see. Like, what books are you reading? Like, what are you presenting? That's the vibe I'm seeking.
Okay, Mr. Snoop, where are you snooping?
I think the bedside table is really important. It's not who you're sleeping, it's what you're sleeping with, you know? And some people have got a little lotion, some people have got a book. And so, you know, it tells a lot about the person, what they're doing in their off time.
Your hands get dry.
Hang on, so how do you exit the dinner table and then go and snoop? Like, in their bedroom?
It's usually on the way to the washroom, like a quick washing break, a little lean in, a little peek, and then I have a whole new download on the person's life. Oh. It's nice.
Okay, where are you snooping?
In the bathroom, under the sink, a friend's house. Yeah, dirty towels, I'm done. Gross, out. Wow. No dirty towels. Anything dirty, it's over. Can't be friends.
You have snoop written all over your face. Where are you snooping? What have you found?
I snooped at a guy's house, and I found like a girl's perfume and a girl's makeup remover. I didn't do anything about it, but that was the last time I saw him.
You must snoop.
Absolutely. I'm snooping. Bathroom is a great place to check out what's going on. Do they clean the toilets? They don't clean the toilets. Oh, man, that's already a big no-no right there. Check the medicine cabinets. Check what shampoo they're using.
Oh.
Are they like a shampoo and conditioner type of person? Or do they use separate products? You know, you can tell a lot about somebody.
Okay, so what's your snooping technique? What are you doing?
You gotta open the medicine cabinet and you gotta take a look at what they're taking. You gotta Google the prescription names and see what they got going on.
Oh my god!
Okay, so I mean, the first thing I do when I'm on my way to the washroom is obviously see what other rooms I can check out. So go into the bedroom, of course, check out the closet, see what kind of clothes they got in there, you know, what's expensive, what kind of, you know, Forever 21 stuff they got. But then the juiciest thing you got to look at is the bedside table, the nightside table drawer. And that's where you're going to find the real tea. So I went in there one time and I found a giant...
Okay, so my snooping story is one time I was at my friend's house. She's married. They've been married for a while. And I thought, I'm just going to go to her husband's office and just see, like, what kind of cool gadgets he has. So I did some snooping, and I opened up the second drawer, and I found a love letter from his mistress. I was shaking. I was also laughing because it was super corny. But my immediate thought was, what the fuck am I going to tell her?
Did you tell her?
Yes, obviously. Oh, she was devastated, but she was cheating too.
Oh my god. People are awful.
You know, the cheating one, sure, awful. That one's bad, but I think probably the worst one is the lady that said she looks at the medication and then Googles the name to see what it's all about.
Well, that makes sense. I mean, that way at least you know
god,
what it is.
Oh my god, Maury, no, stop. It's so wrong. Everything is
so right.
No, it's not. There's nothing right about that. What's right about that?
I think that if people didn't want you to look through their medicine cabinet, then they wouldn't put that stuff in that bathroom.
What?
And have you over.
Bro, you are next level. Bro.
People know that you're going to snoop.
No, they don't. No, they don't.
We would hope that they can trust the people coming into our homes.
Yeah.
I don't think it has anything to do with trust.
It's only about trust. Like, these are awful people. Going through your closet and judging you on how much you paid? Too much Forever 21?
Human beings.
Gross human beings.
And I think it's fine to look at what shampoo people use.
No, it's not. But what business is it of yours?
Be like, oh, that's a nice brand. Look at you know, they care about their hair.
No, you're such a gossip, though. Like, and then you're going home and judging people and like all this. Oh, my God.
Or planning their murder.
Thank you.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Yo, Adam, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on. We got to do this proper.
Roz and Mocha's Vented Moments!
Get it off your chest.
Oh, wow.
We have not done Vented Moments in a really, really long time. If this is your first time hearing Roz and Mocha's Vented Moments...
So, we know that you guys have oftentimes just... opinions or problems or whatever it is with the world, your family, your boss, any of this stuff. And you just want to let go and you just want to vent. And sometimes you can't do that because the people in your life, one, will judge you, or two, it may have negative ramifications. So we give you the show. We give you our audience and the platform. Mocha and I will just sit back and just let you go. Mm-hmm. That is what Vented Moments is all about.
Yeah. We're not allowed to ask questions. So Adam, go ahead.
So my Vented Moment is about Airbnbs and how crappy some of the hosts are. Like, first of all, don't pretend like your Airbnb is on like some beachfront house that I'm renting. Like you're staging it up looking great. Like I stayed at an Airbnb in Winnipeg because I just moved out here and I stayed there for a month just to see the area. First 3 days, my car got broken into and you don't see that anywhere. Like I'm on the worst corner of Winnipeg apparently. Got my gold necklace stolen out of the car. And then the Airbnb, like, make sure your make sure your stuff works. That's the other thing. Like, damn, half the appliances in there didn't even work.
Oh, no. Like what?
The washer and dryer. The first, like, 2 weeks they were working. But, like, the dryer, I had to put the dryer on 7 times. And my stuff still came out damp.
Like, oh, that sucks.
Dude, and then the best thing about it was after my month was done, I mentioned it to the person and the host, and then after my month was done, 3 weeks later, I get a message from Airbnb saying that, oh, we're going to charge you $1,500 from your last Airbnb host. And I'm like, what? I look at the messages, and it's like, oh, the doors broke into the washer and dryer, and the dryer isn't working and the washer isn't working, so we're gonna charge you $1,500.
Damn. Yo, I know we're not allowed to ask questions, but I'm curious about the gold chain that got stolen from your car. What the hell was it doing in your car and why was it not around your neck?
Okay, because okay, I broke the chain just a while ago. I got caught on something and I broke it. And
what'd you get caught on? Never mind, sorry.
I got caught on something and it broke. So I was going to take it with me. I was going back to Toronto for like a week. I was going to take it with me and I forgot it. And I forgot it in the car because I don't know, since it was loose and everything, I was just leaving it in the car. And I was going to take it with me and then I forgot it. And then the first 2 days or 3 days, the car got broken into and they found it.
Damn, man.
Okay,
so are you back?
My shoes.
Oh, your shoes too?
My shoes. I was more pissed off about the shoes.
What kind of kicks were they?
No, they're nice, like dress shoes. I had like a couple pair of dress shoes in there.
So, where are you now? Are you back in Winnipeg then?
Yeah, I'm still in Winnipeg.
Oh no, you sound miserable.
It's the worst. I think the Vented Moment should be about Winnipeg, honestly.
Yeah. Ross and Mocha, loud and proud in Winnipeg, you know?
Listen, thank you so much for the Vented Moment. Sorry about all your Airbnb problems and everything else.
Yeah, no worries.
Yeah,
no worries.
Yeah, yeah. Did you get your gold chain, by the way? One quick question before we let you go. Did you get your gold chain caught on something or someone?
No, on something.
Oh, okay, okay, cool. Just checking. I had a whole different visual in my head.
I can imagine.
Oh,
well, I love you guys.
Love you too.
We love you right back. Sorry, Adam. Later, homie.
Later, man.
Later.
Now I feel sad.
I know, me too.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Maria is a new voice that you hear on the Roz and Mocha Show. She just joined the show over the summer. Hello, Maria.
Hello.
And I forget how relatable things are between Maria and I, just being so close in age, proximity, right?
Yeah.
Because Maria was talking about how she saw like these back to school ads, right? For all the stuff that's on sale right now to encourage parents to go and buy for your kids. And the price difference now compared to when she went to school, similar to when I went to school. And back to school spending this year, they're saying, is expected to reach $41.5 billion. College supply spending is expected to reach over $90 billion. Of course, electronics are like the big back to school
kind of. You got your kid a computer now. They all need MacBook Airs
and iPads.
Yes.
And all sorts of different tablets.
Yeah, it's the Google Classrooms has really ruined the back to school shopping for people.
So I said to Maria, like, go and find what things cost when you were in school, and let's compare it to now. Also, maybe go back even further to when Roz was in school to see the comparison because of the cost of everything now due to inflation.
Yeah.
So you went to school when, Maria?
2008. I was in grade 7.
2000 and what?
8.
Oh my God.
Roz's eyes just shot out of his head. What were you doing in 2008, Roz? Paying mortgage.
Yeah, but had been for years.
Literally, right?
Had been for years.
Okay. So go ahead, Maria.
Comparing from when I was in grade 7 to now, the Post-it flag highlighters were $7.29 a pack then, and now they're $11.02 a pack.
How many did you get in a pack?
You get about 3.
What was the cost when Roz went to school? When were you in school? Like 80s?
Yeah.
All right.
Did they have them back then?
They did. I had to Google when they were created.
Oh, shut up. Maury, however, remember when whiteout was introduced to the world.
Shut up.
Yes, I do.
Oh, my
God. Was it like a big deal?
Yes.
Sorry, to the world or to your school?
No, like I remember when it became a thing.
And what was the reaction?
What, did everyone gather around?
Yes, it was like, it was a miracle.
In the town square?
Yes.
They were ringing the bells in the Pioneer Village when the whiteout came out.
What else you got, Maria?
Okay.
I made a mistake on my receipt for a donkey. And guess what? I had whiteout, right?
Instead of 53 cents, I had to pay 59 cents
for
this donkey.
Yeah, the guy at the hardware store ruined the bill for the ammo for my musket. Guess what?
Oh, my.
Whited it right out.
Maria's like, what the hell is a musket? Yeah.
No, they had those at Pioneer Village. I'm not kidding you.
It was when called, it was called a liquid paper.
My dad still calls it liquid paper, I'm pretty sure.
Cool, thanks.
Yeah. Your dad sounds super cool.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
What else you got?
Okay, so a lunchbox, per se, okay? So when Roz was in school, it was $4.97. When I was in school, it was $11.
$11 for a lunch bag?
Oh, it gets better. Now, for something that insulates food because kids need their food warm and cold, $39 for a lunchbox.
Oh, yeah, I believe that.
Oh, yeah.
I think
we spent close to that on
Cruz's lunchbox.
That's too much money.
Yeah.
That's more than the lunch.
Yo, that's facts, Maury. Yeah.
It's true.
What else you got, Maria?
Okay, so for a pack of pencils that has 10 pencils in there, when Roz is in school, 58 cents. When I was in school, it actually wasn't that much of a change. I went down 8 cents. It was 50 cents. And then now it's $1.19 for a 10-pack.
For a pack of 10 pencils?
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? No, that seems pretty reasonable.
Yeah, but think about how many times you lose pencils. Like, I would come, the first week of school, I would have like 100 pencils in my pencil case. And by the second week, they were all gone. I would lose them everywhere.
I had to have the safety thing around them so that my fingers would be properly. Oh,
that little rubber thing on the end?
Bro, my kid, when he was learning how to write, he had one of those, like when he was like 3.
Yes, also Maury, that wasn't for safety.
That's right. It was
for blisters?
No, it was because I was in special needs, so it helped me place my finger.
Yeah, but it's not a safety precaution.
No, but that's what Mr. Cole said. So
right. Putting a cork on the end of it is a safety precaution.
Yo, Mr. Cole, straight line to you, bro.
Yeah.
Give me 2 more items, Maria. 2 more.
Okay, so I couldn't find what the price of calculators were in 1980 because they probably weren't around yet.
Oh.
So in 2008, a calculator was $4.99, and now they're $14.99 for like a generic.
You should have looked up an abacus for Rob.
Maria has no idea what an abacus is.
Is that the one where you slide the dots across the
dots?
Yo, one more, Maria.
Okay. A composition notebook. In 1980, those were just paper if they had them. And then in 2008, it was $2.99. And then now it's $8.99 just for a notebook.
That was when you had to write with like a ink and a feather, right?
On a scroll.
And then the owl delivered it.
Harry Potter.
Wow.
Thank you for that, Maria. That was fun.
No.
Yeah, that was great fun. Yeah.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Kevin Williamson, the creator of Scream, did an interview the other day on a podcast called The Happy Horror Time, where, because they are moving ahead with Scream 7. And if you remember, Scream 6 was the first installment that did not have Neve Campbell in it because she had a dispute over money. She felt that if she was a male star in this type of franchise, she would have been given more money. And so she walked away, and he's hoping that the studio can work something out, because he had said, I know exactly where she's coming from. I love and adore her, and that's what she did. It's her right. I love everyone involved in Scream, and all I can say is pay her the money. That's what I would do. I would give her the money. I'm sure there's a number they can agree on that will make both of them happy. So hopefully one day they will figure all that out, because right now pre-production on Scream is stalled because of the writers and actors strike, but they should be filming in early 2024. They said, damn it, Maury caught up with Neve Campbell on the red carpet for her movie that she produced called Swan Song, about Karen Kane and the Ballet of Canada. But here she is talking about what it would mean to sort of, do you do it for the fans or do you do it for the money when it comes to Scream?
I want to ask you this, because obviously we love you from Scream, but I want to find out from you, at what point, I guess, does the fans' love and passion for you to come back outweigh, I guess, money?
It's a hard question. Because it's a matter of principle as well. As much as I love the characters that I've played and ones that I've had a history with, it's also very important to me, the concept of equal pay. I think we're still not there yet. And I really do believe that had I been a male, that the offer would have been different. I can't prove that. But it's the feeling I have. And the way that I was treated was not great and feels disrespectful. And so at what point does self-respect come into play? It needs to always be there, right?
Does that sound like she's on her way back to Scream 7?
Nah.
Oh. The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
I know you're not on TikTok, Roz, no. But...
I am, but I'm just like, I don't go on it.
Like, you don't scroll and scroll?
No, sir.
You have a lot of followers.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
On TikTok? Yes, you do.
No, I don't. Do I? What's a lot of followers on TikTok?
Like 6 grand?
Really? What do you have?
How often do you check Roz's TikTok, Maury?
I did it once. To see
once. Yeah, right.
Every day.
What do I have? I have 8,585 followers. 85.
Look at that.
At Roz Wesson on TikTok. Look for the latest dance.
Yes.
Now, because you have so many followers, but you don't go on TikTok.
Thank you.
Maria, who I know is on TikTok a lot, brought this to my attention.
Okay.
And there's one way that everyone is saying this happens, which I disagree with, and I'll explain in a second, but they're saying when you take Morgan Wallen songs and you speed them up, he sounds like Miley Cyrus.
Right.
But when you listen to it, the songs aren't actually sped up. The real thing that's happening is they're pitching Morgan Wallen's voice up higher.
Yes.
They just changed the pitch of his voice. So it's not like the actual song is being sped up.
I think originally, the person who did it originally said pitching, but then people had no idea what that meant.
So then they just started saying
speeding it up.
So we have some examples here. Morgan Wallen. By the way, 3 sold out shows in Toronto this week.
I know, it's crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Love him.
Yeah.
So here are Morgan Wallen songs, Cover Me Up, Sand in My Boots, Thought You Should Know, and finally Up Down.
Okay.
When pitched up, sounds like Miley Cyrus.
Girl, leave your boots by the bay. We ain't leaving this
room. That's normal.
Yeah.
Leave your boots by the bay. We ain't leaving this room.
Miley Cyrus.
It's normal, right?
Normal. Sand in My Boots, normal.
I brought back with me with some sand in my boots.
That one really sounds like Miley Cyrus.
This one particularly, yeah. So normal. And then right here, Miley.
Yeah, very much Miley.
Crazy.
I think this last one is a great example. This is Up Down. And then pitched up, Morgan Wallen sounds like Miley Cyrus right here.
Yeah. Specific notes too. She like it just sounds exactly like her.
Yeah, I mean it's true.
Yeah,
right. Like, yeah. But I wonder how many other people you could do that with though.
Like other country artists, you think?
Yeah, because they like anybody who sort of sings with that drawl, right? That twang. Uh-huh. It's very easy because that's what makes those singers so unique to each other. Right?
Sure.
Like that's sort of what ties them all together.
So who all sounds like Miley?
Yeah, like I'm wondering if
other
it...
Other than Morgan Wallen?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, Morgan, you know, Morgan Wallen, I guess...
What's that band that I like? Their music's always in Yellowstone.
Def Leppard.
No,
oh, sorry. I don't know.
Whiskey Myers.
Is that a country band?
Bro.
Yeah. Do you listen to a lot of country at home? What's going on with you over there?
I have a full Yellowstone playlist.
You do, huh?
Yes. Even that guy that played, oh my God, what's his name? His real name is Ryan Bingham.
Oh, the guy who plays, what's his name?
He's with the guitar.
The white hat. Yeah, that guy.
Yeah. He's on the playlist.
He's a real singer, isn't he?
He is. Yeah. Ryan Bingham.
Yeah. I didn't know that when I was watching that show. He just looks like a good old boy.
John Stapleton in my house.
Who's John Stapleton?
What?
I think he means Chris.
You mean Chris Stapleton?
Chris Stapleton.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Such a big fan, Mark.
Who's John?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Akon was on the Logan Paul Impulsive podcast.
Oh, yeah. What's Akon got going on these days?
A lot, man.
Yeah?
He's still got the bag. He's still got a lot of money. For a lot of people, you may not know that Akon was signed Lady Gaga to her first big deal and helped co-write a lot of the songs on that first album that had like Just Dance and Paparazzi.
Oh, that album.
Poker Face. Right?
Okay.
And he still makes money off of all those songs.
Damn.
Right, that pivotal album for
Lady Gaga, man.
And then she went on to obviously do monster things. But then the question came up of, for someone like Akon, is how do you stay rich? Right, in this economy, how does somebody like Akon stay rich? And this is his answer.
Listen, you want to stay rich? Stay stingy.
Yeah, facts.
I'm the stingiest.
No, not stingier than me, bro.
I promise you, I got you beat. I promise
like
you.
What class does your wife fly?
Well, I mean, she flies first.
Okay, well.
But his girl, any person in my caliber is not flying commercial.
Fat, no.
These dudes are flying jets all day.
Facts.
I attempted to own a jet.
How'd that go?
That lasted 6 months.
Wait, why?
I sold that motherfucker so fast.
No.
Listen.
Upkeep costs.
What?
Yeah, insane.
That, you have no idea.
Insane. What do you mean? This is my goal, Akon.
Bro, take that off your list.
No,
right
come
now.
On.
You shouldn't own
I
a jet.
I promise you.
What
take
do you
it
mean?
Off. Whatever you do, do not own a jet.
What?
Bro, owning a jet, you're spending at least $2-3 million a year just on upkeep. You spend more on the maintenance than the actual jet costs.
So
be stingy and don't own a jet.
I agree.
Those are the keys to staying rich from Akon.
I think that advice, I know it seems very unrelatable, right? Very unrelatable.
Uh-huh.
But I think that if you break it down to just exactly what he said, I think that advice applies to every single person who's looking to save money, which is be stingy and don't buy a jet.
Thank you, Akon.
Right?
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You guys know me, big football fan. Always talking about football, right?
Yes, sir.
Season just kicked off. Looking forward to week 4, by the way.
Why? What's week 4?
Which is in October.
Mm-hmm.
It's a game between the Falcons of Atlanta.
Hey.
Well done, man.
And
well
the Jacksonville done. Jaguars.
Well done.
All right. This is one of two games that they're holding in England, London, England.
Oh, they're doing this thing again, huh? Mm.
And what they're doing is on ESPN Plus, they're showing the game and as on regular TV, but they're also showing it on Disney Plus, featuring characters from Toy Story, the Toy Story
what?
Universe. Yeah. They released a promo. Listen to this. This is how Toy Story and the NFL were broadcast a game live on October 1st.
To infinity and beyond. The first Toy Story Fun Day Football is coming to Disney Plus and ESPN Plus. It's the NFL like you've never seen it before. Coming in week 4. And the Falcons and Jaguars matchup live from London will also be in Andy's room as both teams transform into the world of Pixar's Toy Story. Oh, it's a very real game, but Toy Story theme. Every run, pass, and score. Live and unpredictable. Plus, a special halftime show featuring Duke Kaboom performing an incredible motorcycle jump. Buzz, Woody, and all their friends at Disney, Pixar, ESPN, and the NFL invite you to watch Toy Story Fun Day Football between the Falcons and Jaguars, Sunday, October 1st at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Disney Plus and ESPN Plus.
Okay.
It says here, the Disney Plus stream will use special technology to convert the NFL's next-gen stats and on-field tracking data into a fully animated, real-time version of the game set, as you heard in the promo, in Andy's room from the Toy Story universe. Now, what you see on Disney Plus will be about 30 seconds of a delay from what's happening in real time, okay, because the tech has to analyze all the footage and create the animation.
It's incredible when because the NFL is just so rock solid, right?
Yeah.
It's incredible to watch the NFL have to gimmick things up for a new audience.
Well, one of the things...
You never see it with the NFL, right?
One of the things this article was saying is this is like another attempt to try to attract a younger audience to be interested in watching football.
Sure.
Right? But I feel like that Toy Story audience, like Cruz will probably, he's 6, right?
Yeah.
So he'll probably watch that for the Toy Story element, but I don't know if he's going to be like, okay, Dad, week 5, what do we got?
Listen, Toy Story is not what is going to get young people interested in football. The thing that is going to get young people interested in football is that they grew up in a house where the parents are interested in football.
Yeah, facts.
Because if your parents aren't into football and you got a 5-year-old who saw one time that the Toy Story characters were involved in football.
And Buzz Lightyear going for a touchdown?
And they're like, hey, let's watch that Toy Story football thing, and it's not there the next week. You didn't do the job. And parents who don't like football are not going to let the kid watch football all day on Sunday. Well, like, it's just not going to happen.
It's a good thing we're a football family in our house.
Okay.
Right? Go Falcons,
which are from, again, without looking at your computer,
Atlanta.
Okay.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
My football group chat was going crazy yesterday. Because as you know, Aaron Rodgers of the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Formerly of the
Green Bay Packers.
Okay.
Hello.
Okay.
Wisconsin, what's up?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What do they call themselves?
The Cheeseheads.
Okay.
But why are you coming at me like
I'm
this?
I'm not. I'm educating myself because I don't know.
So he plays the first game with the Jets on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And injures himself.
First run.
And yeah, injures himself. He's out for the season now. The entire season. God. Group chat was going wild yesterday. So his old team and city that he was from, out in Wisconsin, decided to have a promotion for their beloved former Aaron Rodgers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where if the New York Jets lose a game, everyone in the bar gets your tabs taken care of, drink-wise. Okay?
Oh, wow. Damn.
So this bar was packed. They'll play Green Bay games. They'll play Jets games, right?
Right.
If Green Bay is playing, obviously that's the game that gets played.
Yeah.
If they're playing on the same night as the Jets, right?
Gotcha.
Not against each other. So the stipulation from the bar was that in order to take part in this, tabs open 15 minutes before kickoff. Aaron Rodgers has to start.
Mm-hmm.
You're not allowed to order. This does not include pitchers of beer.
Okay.
No top shelf liquor. So any of the premium stuff.
Don't worry about it.
Right? And no food.
No.
So just basically you get
your beer.
Right?
Yeah.
So what happens now? Aaron Rodgers on that first play gets knocked out. And everyone in the bar is going crazy.
Yeah.
They're like, yes, we're going to get our tabs taken care of. So what do they all do? Start racking up the tabs.
Yeah. Oh, no.
What happens at the end of the game?
Right. Overtime.
Overtime, Jets win. Right. Everybody in the bar has to pay. This was the scene, according to a local CBS affiliate out there, when they were inside of the bar.
And the mood has changed considerably. That is because the Jets just won the game on a long touchdown in overtime. You can take a look. This is the reaction from a bar where people are realizing the bar tabs they've been racking up all night, thinking, certainly with Rodgers hurt, the bar was going to be paying that tab. It is setting in. They are going to have to go to the bar and pay that tab.
Oh, no.
That's where we're at. This offer is going to be in effect for another 12 games this season. As long as the Jets and Packers are not playing at the same time, this Jets lose, you win promotion is in effect. Tonight, Bill and Natalie, the house won.
Well, you roll the dice, you take your chances. I mean,
so everyone had to pay. Could you imagine already being tipsy in there, thinking that you got the W on this one?
And it's only going to happen once.
Yeah, and you're going to order and order and order and order. On a Monday night, too.
You know that? I would be so terrified. Yeah. I would just order my regular like amount of drinks. Like that's I would not.
But that's like a week ruiner.
Bro.
And it start your week that way?
And it was a Monday.
Getting drunk on a Monday night knowing that you now have to pay?
I know. All those guys in there got to go like work the forklift the next morning.
Yeah. Hungover. Headache, hungover. Empty wallet.
Full of shame. Probably didn't go home.
Yeah.
Gotta explain that to the family.
Oh, so much trouble. Yeah.
So about those ballet lessons.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast. Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life.
What advice can you guys give me?
Okay, so my question is.
Got a problem you can't fix.
Roz and Mocha got you.
Jen, hello. Welcome back to the Roz and Mocha Show.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing good. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you.
Good. You sound in great spirits. That last time we talked to you was earlier this year. Actually, it was in March.
Yes.
And you had, Jen, you had just met somebody also named Jen, correct?
Yes.
And you wrote us to say that you were struggling with mental health for a long time, and that year was particularly really difficult, and you tried to take your own life over Christmas. You were hospitalized. You were doing much better when we talked to you. But your question was, when you meet somebody new who was wonderful, how much do you disclose? And you were talking to a therapist as well, and you were on medication, and the new Jen sort of knew that. And it's a difficult thing when you're in a new relationship. So before we get to sort of recapping that conversation, take us back really quick to your rationale for not wanting to fully open up.
Honestly, part of it is being scared, because I have opened up to people in the past about it.
Yeah.
And they've been kind of weird about it, and sometimes actually don't talk to me anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that one of the things that we talked about was that when you start building these walls to sort of protect yourself because you don't want to become somebody's problem or their project, or maybe they're not interested in being a part of, you know, your journey, you deny somebody who may be willing to help the opportunity to help, right?
Yes.
And so what did you guys, what did you do?
Well, it's kind of funny. We ended up, after I spoke to you guys, we ended up actually going away together to Niagara on the Lake.
Okay.
And a few wine tours and, you know, a few nights of a lot of wine.
Yeah.
We ended up having these really like deep conversations about a lot of things, and I ended up spilling my guts.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you told her everything.
Everything.
Uh-huh.
Like, everything. And then she ended up spilling her guts and telling me everything.
Oh, and, wow. What was it?
More alike than I ever knew.
Really?
Yes.
Were you surprised by some of the things that she told you?
Yes.
Okay.
I actually was very surprised, but then she was also surprised by me as well.
And then what was the conversation after, like, everything had kind of, like, been put out onto the table?
Actually, a lot better. We bonded.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways, like, I don't think that I have ever been this close. Now I'm counting my husband.
Yeah.
But I don't think I have ever been this close to somebody in my life.
Did it, now that, so when everything was sort of out in the open, did it mm-hmm. change the dynamic? Like, did the relationship become more romantic or less romantic because you knew
more romantic? That's amazing.
Way more.
Yeah. And are you both, was it like a sense of relief? Are you both happier now?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. The relationship is obviously going
very,
really
very
well.
Happy. I can't even tell you. So much has happened since I talked to you guys.
Yeah.
We have gotten so close. All of our kids have met. We've all gone away together a couple of times now over the summer. Now, occasionally she sends me houses that she's looking at.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Damn.
I can't. Yeah. It has just been, I love her so much.
Aww.
I can't even tell you. And I am so happy right now. Now, I'm always going to have depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that I'm always going to have bad days, but I feel like I have somebody who understands my bad days and will see me on the other side of that bad day.
Is this something, that conversation where you guys went that deep, was that a one and done? Or is this something that you guys are still sort of constantly talking about, checking in on? Like, what's the dynamic when it comes to
each of your issues? Yeah, we're still checking in on each other. So in Easter, her ex-husband passed away.
Wow.
And she really struggled with that because he was abusive and a narcissistic, but he's still the father of her children.
Mm-hmm.
She was really struggling. So we were having a lot of conversations around her issues. And then just actually a couple of weeks ago was kind of an anniversary for me and my husband, who you guys know has passed.
Yeah.
And I kind of struggled through that. So then she talked me through that. So this is just still an ongoing conversation because, I mean, life is still going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to keep being open about it and telling everything. And sometimes I don't want to be here, but I can tell her I don't want to be here and she can talk me through it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still seeing my therapist and I'm still taking my medication and it's going to be a long journey, I know, but I feel so much better than when I talked to you guys in March.
Oh my God.
Jen, are sending you so much love. You know, we always got your back and we're always here for you for everything, through absolutely everything, because we know that you've been with us for the past 14 plus years now.
Yes, everything. You guys have been so amazing and helped me so much. And I mean, I have to tell you, Roz, I read your book 3 times.
Wow.
It really hit me with a lot of things that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I grew up in kind of the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel so connected to you and in such a weird way after reading that, because I feel I went through a lot of the same things that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad that you wrote that book. So thank you.
No, thank you. Paperback coming out on October 17th, by the way.
Oh, God. I had to throw that out there.
No, Jen, I wrote that book for you. That's I really did. I wrote it for people like me, for people like you, for people like anybody else. That was the reason I wrote that book. So thank you so much. It means the world to me. But what means even more to me and Mocha is that hearing you right now in the place that you are is the greatest call we could have ever received from you.
Oh, thank you. That means a lot to me too.
Yeah.
Love you, Jen.
Love you guys too. Don't forget to say hi to Shem for me.
Well, don't worry, we won't. Don't you worry.
Shem, another one. See you, Jen.
Bye, guys.
Roz and Mocha's Fix My Life on Kiss.
Hi, this is the Roz and Mocha Show.
Hey, Mocha, what's going on, dude?
What's up, man? Who's this?
Jill.
Adil, we haven't heard from you in a while.
Yeah. I was just thinking of something. You guys obviously asked the question, what, like, does Roz think that you'd probably get favorable responses if he were to ask the question?
Oh, you mean, who's your favorite?
Yeah.
No, I think I would lose more.
Really?
Yep.
What do you think, Adil?
I think there's some, like, something to be said about that. I feel like if you were to ask, he could potentially get more favorable responses.
So you're talking about, by the way, when Mocha asks everybody who calls the show, hey, between Roz and Mocha, who's your favorite? That's what you're asking. And you're thinking that because Mocha is the one to always ask that question, he gets a more favorable response, right? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah, I think so.
Interesting.
I don't know. But you guys have been claiming that you have been getting more of the, you are my favorite. Roz is the favorite.
I've been on a run. I will say that. But I've also gone on runs the other way where it's been, it was months without somebody saying my name.
Why don't you ask Adil? Role reversal.
All right. Have we already asked you this question, Adil?
No.
No, we have not? Never?
Nope.
All right. Maury says you're lying.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Oh,
wow. Okay, geez, chill.
Wow, Adil. Why are you so high strung, man? What's wrong with you?
Go ahead, Ross.
What's the matter with you?
Because Maury doesn't remember what he had for breakfast this morning.
All right, man, just chill out, dude. God. All right, Adil, between Ross and Mocha, who's your favorite?
Mocha.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that worked out great.
You're the best, Adil. Thanks so much.
See you guys.
The Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
You just sent me this alien story. I'm just flipping through it now. This little tiny alien that they say they found in Mexico.
Fake.
You think it's fake?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. It's on multiple news sources.
I know, but like.
Ow. That's fake.
It's a, and I like, it's little. Like, they say that they found this alien and that it wasn't from a crash. They say that it was in a mine and mummified. Like, they found it underground. Found
it. It looks kind of cute.
Right?
And yeah.
Like I'd be its buddy.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't want.
And maybe not his friend, but it just looks cute from afar.
Maybe not his friend. Yeah. Why, are you scared, Maria?
Yeah, I don't know what these things are. What if like they use their cuteness to attract you, then pa!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But how tall did you think aliens would be?
Well, huge. I mean, I was hoping huge. This thing is like wee. Like it's a toddler size.
Yeah.
And they got it in like a little box. But I find it weird because it's mummified, but like mummified perfectly. Like legs straight, arms by its side.
Like torso. You can see everything.
Head's not even turned a tiny little bit.
No.
The face is squished.
Right? Like
it's a little too perfect, which is why I'm calling fake.
You're calling fake on this,
yeah,
right?
I don't believe that story.
Yeah. So
I mean, I believe the story is out there. I just don't believe that mummified alien is real.
So they say after comparisons were made to other DNA samples, it was found that over 30% of the specimen's DNA was unknown, they said. X-rays of the specimen were also shown during the hearings, with experts testifying under oath that one of the bodies is seen to have eggs inside. Right. Well, both said to have implants made of very rare metals inside them.
Interesting, because I thought that aliens would, you know, give birth the same way humans do.
I don't know. I've never thought about how they would give birth. But maybe, yeah. Like,
and if
I
they come
know.
To Earth, eventually we would have humalians.
Like hybrids.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. Like, I'm a believer in stuff like this, but...
Oh, I believe that they're, like, all those things that people see in the sky.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Ships and like shooting off once they get noticed or whatever. I believe in that stuff. This story, though,
yeah, you're not
of them
buying
showing
it.
Us an actual alien.
You're not buying. You're not buying.
But why
it
not?
Now?
Like, if all these aliens come to Earth, some of them have to die, and what's going to happen to them?
That.
That's why I think this is real.
Like, but this is a long time. Like, this is a mummified.
Yeah,
and they found it in Peru. I don't know, man. I don't know. You're right, though. It's cute. Like, I sort of want one. Right? Like
so what, all those other aliens that we're visiting were coming looking for that dude?
No, I don't know. Maybe they're a different species. I don't know.
Are they like, yo, we heard?
Bro, like who
came to claim him?
Who knows? Like who knows?
And if you got one, would the alien get along well with your cats?
I don't know. I don't know. Like I don't know. Like what would I have to do with it? Like, do you have to take care of it?
Maybe
like
raise it?
Like yeah. Like is it yeah. Are they dumb? Like that would be my thing, right?
No,
like
very
what
smart.
What if they're just incredibly dumb? Like stupid.
Let me throw this out there.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys saw this on Barstool a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
When talking about aliens.
Yeah.
And one of the guys so bad.
Yeah.
One of the guys said,
yeah,
what if aliens were delicious.
Oh
no, you didn't.
What if they were delicious?
And maybe that's why they visit, they make it known, you know, but they don't want to touch down.
Right.
Because they're like, we know we're freaking delicious.
Right.
And these savages out here on Earth will eat and deep fry everything.
Right.
Like Would you have it with a side of fries?
Right. Like, and it would be very difficult to explain to an alien, right? Like what we eat is we all sort of understand it, right? But like, if aliens came down and they were like, okay, so you'll eat a chicken but not a cat, right? Mm-hmm. And we're like, yeah, of course. Like, why? Like,
yeah.
That's very difficult to explain to people.
Yeah.
Right?
Are you sure you're not going to eat me?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, am I in the love me, pet me category?
Uh-huh.
Or am I in the pull like my guts out of my butthole category and skin me and rotisserie me?
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, which category am I in? And then you're like, I don't know. I'd give me a taste.
Yeah. Right? Just a little nibble.
Yeah.
Let me just lick that arm for a sec.
Yeah, let me just do me a favor. I'm gonna close my eyes. You put your foot in my mouth, okay? You just give me that
just
little
for 5
thing.
Seconds.
Just give me. I don't need long. Just give me that little thing for a minute, okay? I don't even need the bite, for like the, at all.
For the record, guys, we're talking about aliens. For anybody who just tuned
in.
Thanks for listening to the Roz and Mocha Show podcast.
Catch the guys live
weekday mornings from 6 to 10
on Kiss 92.5,
kiss925.com,
or download the Kiss 92.5 app.